Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm Sir Alan Collier, and we're going to talk about a project that's fairly close to my heart. People who listen to this show know that over a period of time I've been talking about loneliness, and there are a number of reports around saying that in the future, unless we're very careful, loneliness could turn out to be one of the biggest killers around, apart from heart and that sort of stuff, that people, although that we've got connected with devices that we've never had before, that more and more people are feeling very lonely. So I just want to play, I've played this CSA many times, and then we're going to talk to somebody from Wipeout Loneliness. If you just listen to this, please.
If you're over 60, loneliness increases your risk of death more than obesity, poor diet, alcohol or lack of exercise. Yet 25% of Australians say they are lonely, and worse, 1 in 10 have no social support. The stigma associated with loneliness and social isolation means it is most often unrecognised and underreported. WipeOutLoneliness.org has been established to help fight against this epidemic, particularly for those over 50. Don't hesitate to go to WipeOutLoneliness, one word, .org, a not-for-profit organisation in association with Stitch.
Now, people that listen to this show know that I often play that, and I've read a number of reports that talk about loneliness. So I thought, well, the best thing, why don't we go and talk to Andrew Dowling, who actually was part of setting up Wipeout Loneliness. So welcome, Andrew.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Very good. Well, you've heard the introduction. I'm quite a person that has read a number of reports about this, and as they say there, it will kill more people than obesity and a number of other diseases. So let's hear a bit of from you. You actually started the program. First of all, how did you go about, or first of all, what was the prime mover? Why did you decide to start Wipeout Loneliness?
Yeah, great question. So my background is actually in technology, not in in doing social stuff, but I was working in an area of retirement living. We had a simple tablet device to help people stay connected as they got older, and this was for people who'd been left behind by technology. This is kind of before the iPad, about a decade or so ago. And we stumbled on the fact that we were in these retirement living communities, particularly really big ones in the US, where they had 10,000 residents. And people were coming up to me saying, well, this is good, Andrew, that you can help me connect to, you know, my grandkids and the outside world, but I'd really like you to just introduce me to some people because I'm really lonely. And it was a real shock that in an environment that was, these massive golf clubs, and they had social events and activities, that even in an environment like that, people were saying they were lonely. And it wasn't just people who had been left behind by technology. In many cases, it were people in their 50s and 60s just saying that, you know, they just were finding it a real struggle. And that started the journey for me. I end up creating an organization called Stitch, stitch.net. So that was we have a community, a worldwide community, devoted to help building social connections for people over 50. And as a result of that, we then realized we had to actually really raise awareness of, because Stitch is a social enterprise, but there are people we weren't reaching. So that's what led us to then, in a kind of complementary way, build our not-for-profit charity, wipeoutloneliness.org. And they're both operational, not just here in Australia, but around the world. So we've got members who contribute and volunteer to improving social connections for their members. We actually had members in like 85 countries last year, but the most of our members...
85?
Yeah, so we'll talk about a little bit the impact of COVID, because we started in Australia, but when COVID came along, it had a big impact on how we kept people connected.
Everybody.
But we had a community where people felt they really depended upon us, and then suddenly all of our government grants got taken away, because while what we were doing was great, it was all around in-person activities for people over 50. And, of course, at that point, the governments weren't so keen on supporting that sort of activity. So we had overnight, basically all of our revenue and our grants got taken out, but we still had all this community people that we had to support. So we had to build an online platform for virtual events and activities. But now we're, and it was a pretty, you know, stressful time. But the good news for us has turned out to be that that has then opened the door to spreading the community much broader than we'd ever imagined. And for many people, those virtual activities are a kind of a pathway into the in-person activities that they do and the friendships they make in the real world. So it's a case where technology is being used to kind of connect people rather than isolate people, because it so often can become an isolating thing.
It certainly can. Andrew, I've just got to take a quick break, and then I've just got a couple of things I want to run past you. So I'll just take the quick break and we'll be back with more.
Hi, this is Tegan. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I'm talking to Andrew from wipeoutloneliness.org. Andrew, I've done a lot of interviews over the last few years, obviously, and a couple of things pop up. First of all, some people lost their jobs through COVID and aren't going to get them back again because they might have been towards the end of their working life. Others will live in an area and they leave sort of first thing in the morning and they're gone and they come back at night, come back and it's tea time and they don't really get to know their neighbours like they used to. And sometimes people who work and move to maybe the Hillsville where we are up here or somewhere like that to retire, one of the partners dies and all of a sudden they're lonely. They just don't know what to do. Is that your experience too with Wipeout Lonely? So that those three can contribute.
Yeah, look, there's a few other pressures as well, and we often say to people who join the community after they've been isolated for some time, they kind of blame themselves, like, why am I alone? Everyone else seems to be happy or whatever. And we try to spread the word that it's actually, this is almost the flip side of the fact we're living longer than we ever have before. Society has changed, but as we age, there are all these pressures that mean, you know, people relocate, our partner dies or a partner gets sick or we move to be with our kids or just divorce. There's lots of factors. But as a result, people can kind of, it can sneak up on them the fact that they don't have the same sort of vibrant social life they might have had when they were younger. And when they were younger, whether it was school or parenting or college or work, you'd be building new social connections just in the course of just living your life. But at a certain point...
You didn't go looking for them, did you?
You didn't go looking for them. You didn't need to. Yep. So plenty of people in their 50s and beyond actually have got to a point where they used to have friends that they don't anymore, but they never had the skills, because they never needed them, about, well, how do I go about actually going and actively creating new friends? And there's actually a mindset. We work with a lot of researchers about what happens in the brain when people think about this. And there's a lot of anxiety that gets in the way of creating new social connections, because there's this fear of being excluded from the tribe, so to speak, which makes people even too scared to take the first step, which, of course, then they end up even more lonely because they're not thinking about how do I make new friends. So for us in with Stitch and Wipeout Loneliness, a lot of the stuff we do is on, rather than putting the burden on the person who is lonely or isolated to actually, you know, take that first step and come along to an event or meet people, we put the more of the burden on the existing members of the community to reach out to them, to welcome them in. And part of the message there is actually you're saving someone's life. If you're just going out and having fun, it seems like it's a frivolous thing to do, but actually, as you say, loneliness is worse for your health than smoking or obesity. They say it's, well, the Surgeon General in the US came out not so long ago quantifying it as it's the same health impact as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It has an impact on...
15 cigarettes a day?
Yeah, because it's a whole body thing. It actually increases the risk of heart disease. It increases... They can measure the biomarkers in your bloodstream based on whether you've had social connections or not. Immune response, you're more likely to resist immunity if you've got good social connections. It's a better predictor of death than... if you're lonely, then plenty of then finances, things like that. And I've been on this journey for a while. I started about 10 years ago talking about the impact of loneliness on your real life and some of these stats around health and so on. And often back then you'd give a presentation or a lecture and people would say, I don't know if I really buy that. Like, is it really that impactful? But then along came COVID, and now it's been a long time since anyone has questioned it when I've got up to say this. Everyone's kind of nodding their heads going, yep, I know what it felt like. We've all been through that as a whole planet. So it's been, in a sense, while it was terrible from an isolation perspective, it's been enormously helpful at raising awareness amongst everyone. Hey, you need to – it's really important for your health and your well-being, mental health particularly, and it might not be you that needs it. It might be your behavior can impact someone else. And so, but social connections only don't happen in a vacuum. You can't just go and make yourself socially happy. You've got to do it with other people. So it is a community response and it's a collective response that you kind of need. And there's so many bits and pieces to overcome it, but you're absolutely right. It's been a dawning realization for many people that as you get older, these things actually happen and you need to do something about it.
And particularly, and you touched on it too, and I did before, particularly if you lose a partner, because some people, particularly, and I'm not talking at the, I'm talking, I guess, about one group here, the retiree who had planned to do a trip around Australia with a caravan, the partner, if it's the husband, dies, the wife doesn't want to tow a caravan all around Australia. So all of a sudden, you start to get to the stage where you can fall in a real hole unless you're very careful.
Yeah, and actually when you think about it, a lot of the friendships you make are by – one of my sayings is friendships aren't found, they're formed. You don't just go to a website and then find a friend, you know, look at someone's profile and say, oh, they'll do. It's you do it by doing things together. So activities are really important. And a lot of people, when they first joined Stitch, they will ask them, you know, what are some of the things you want to do but don't have anyone to do them with? So that's the general, the starting point when we started the community was just getting people to say what they'd like to do and finding other people who'd like to do those same things. And it's remarkable how much of a barrier that is for people. Or they are doing it. One thing I set up for myself here in Sydney recently, I was learning to surf and I love it, but I'd find go to the beach on my own, unpack on my own, surf on my own. I'd be seeing all these people out the back having a chat afterwards and I'd go back and go, gee, it would be nice if I did it with someone else. So I threw it out to the community, not really expecting I'd get much of an interest, but lo and behold, we've got this group of 17 people. None of us can really surf, but most people go to the beach and the main thing we look forward to is the chat afterwards. So now it's cold weather, we're moving into lunches and I come back on an absolute high. And last year I was doing it all on my own. The difference between doing things with other people these were complete strangers to me until we started, but then as a result of doing it week after week, suddenly they're part of your little tribe, and it's really life enriching.
Terrific. Got to take a quick break, Andrew, and we'll be back with more. I'm talking to Andrew from wipeoutloneliness.org. Andrew, while you don't get a lot, I don't even want to talk to retirees because I guess you're going to tell me in a minute loneliness can affect anyone from about 15 onwards or maybe even younger. But one of the things that I guess when people are working, they at least have some sort of friendships. They mightn't be any good outside work, but at least they're with a group of people. But I guess just for one moment, we'll talk about retirees. When they retire, that all goes. I mean, I retired years ago, and I think there's only one person that I worked with that has ever bothered to keep in contact with me. So I guess what I'm saying to you, that I guess it's as for any age group, they need to do something about it, but particularly retirees can be very vulnerable, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And what people don't probably know is you don't need to be best friends with someone for it to have a positive impact on your health. So even just going to work, even actually getting a smile from your local barista when you have a coffee has been shown to have an impact on. And we're talking about, so the brain triggers activity. If you see someone smiling, even on Zoom, if you see someone smile or they smile. So I always say to people, you know, you can help some, you can improve someone else's health by giving a smile. Like it's, we are social creatures. We're built that way. So our bodies respond in ways just to these micro things. So if you're a worker, you have these daily interactions, even if they're not your best friend, but it's still social to an extent. So that's definitely, if you retire, one of the things that we really work on with our members is, and a lot of our members are actually the drivers of the community themselves. So they end up becoming, having this almost a renewed sense of purpose. I'm no longer working, but I'm actually having an amazing impact on all the lives of all these people around me. And you know, we keep reminding everyone, even just by showing up, you don't have to be an organizer, but just if you show up, you are having an impact. Participation in community activities is so, so important. And so if you're a retiree, a lot of the retirees kind of end up going, I'm not really sure what to do with my time, particularly people who have worked really, really, really hard for a very, very long time. They're kind of looking around thinking, what am I going to do? So one of the things we do with Stitch is make it, it's not just about, in fact, this whole idea of talking about loneliness, we talk about loneliness with people like you or the government or so on, but more of what we talk about with our prospective members is we spread the word how much more fun and full of life things are if you do them with other people. Because part of the brain switches off when people start hearing about loneliness because they don't want to think about themselves as lonely.
Don't they? Yeah.
No. In fact, we ran a survey and asked just about, probably a decade ago, you might remember, it was a bit odd to even talk about, you know, I'm depressed, I think mental health. That was a really odd thing to say, but it became normalized. It's pretty normal these days to say, you know, I'm feeling depressed. It's pretty normal to say, you know, I've got a touch of the flu. It's very abnormal for people to say, I'm lonely. And it's because they feel as though they're being judged. And it's they think it's something wrong with them. We're talking about a lot more these days, programs like this, which is great. But we did this survey and people were more likely to admit to having a communicable disease than to being lonely. So they're more likely to say, I've got this, you know, disease, I'm in hospital, whatever. But people don't want to admit it. And as a result, they don't even necessarily admit it to themselves. So we don't actually normally say, hey, if you're lonely, come along. We'll say, wouldn't you like to have an impact on someone else's life? Or wouldn't you like to have a much more enriching life? Here's this stage of your life where you can do something fun and rewarding. It's really important to do so because you can help not only yourself but other people.
And I guess I was just going to say that. I guess as you impact on other people, you're impacting back on yourself, aren't you?
It's a beautiful gift. Yeah, like it really is. You know, that idea, I gave the example of the surfing group that I was doing, but we run lots of different types of events. Most of them are more, you know, coffee or a movie or walk or so on. But the organisers are the ones, and we get their feedback on how much of an impact Stitch has made in their life in terms of mental health, physical health, happiness. There's a bunch of metrics that we use. And it's always the people who are doing more for others who end up saying they had a bigger impact than the people who just went along and got the recipient of things. So, you know, that's if you can transport work, you don't need to, you might not be working in the classic sense, but if you're contributing to something, I think it's great for that sense of being part of something and getting together. So that's what sometimes people are missing. And if we can supplant that, it doesn't need to be through Wipe Out Loneliness or Stitch, but it could be any, if people think along those terms, they're more likely to kind of build those social connections again.
And they've been saying, I know there's a number of reports around saying that the more connected are, the longer you're going to live too, hasn't there? And there's a lot of statistics to prove that.
It's compelling. It's the numbers are actually staggeringly strong. But your social connections indicate so many other aspects too. It's like people will then check in. You've got people around you who might check in on you. You've got people who can, you know, we've got members who, you know, one of them had a fall in a car and someone else had to take her to hospital. So being part of a community and those connections, it's not just about, oh, am I lonely? Does that make me sick? But it's more like when I've got to have those connections to lead like what we would call a healthy social life to take care of the entire you.
All right. I've just got to take another break, Andrew, and we'll be back with more.
One day. go.
If you're over 60, loneliness increases your risk of death more than obesity, poor diet, alcohol, or lack of exercise. Yet 25% of Australians say they are lonely, and worse, 1 in 10 have no social support. The stigma associated with loneliness and social isolation means it is most often unrecognised and underreported. WipeOutLoneliness.org has been established to help fight against this epidemic, particularly for those over 50. Don't hesitate to go to WipeOutLoneliness, one word, .org, a not-for-profit organisation in association with Stitch.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 12 minutes to 2 and still sitting on 12 degrees. That's the top for the day, and I think that's where it's going to just about peg out, unfortunately. I should mention next week, between 12 and 3 next week, we'll be on. We'll have Siri. They always come in and tell us what's going on with their programs. And, of course, between 1 and 2, Cindy McLeish will be in to tell us what's going on, and I'm not going to make any comments about that. And between 2 and 3, we'll have Choice Tunes. We've already got the person lined up. I've just got to get their songs from them, so we'll hear all about their life and what those songs have meant to them through their life, the memories they bring back. But we're talking to Andrew from Wipeout Loneliness. Andrew, is there... You said you were based in Sydney. Is there anything down in the Yarra Valley that and the area around us that we broadcast from where you're involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that is great, or we've really enjoyed seeing in the last 12 months, is the growth of our communities in regional areas. And the way it works is people will join and sign up, and so we've got hundreds of people in the Yarra Valley, and we've got this program where people can then say, well, I'd like to contribute to really help organize things. We call this our Pioneer Program, and it's really helped drive these communities that really got started and are super, super active. And in fact, Victoria's been amazing. In the last couple of years, it's been like tripling in the number of events and activities and members who've joined. And I don't know what that is, whether it's just because we've got such great members down there. But we're certainly
also locked down for the longest of
years. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. The reaction after lockdown was like, right, we're going to rip off, the shackles and really. So I think Melbourne went from the year prior to COVID and then the year immediately after COVID, something like 6 times the number of events and activities. So it was a real, real growth there. And we're seeing that now in regional Victoria as well. So we'd love people to, many people might already have signed up, but what we're now looking for is people who, and all it takes is just suggesting a few things you'd like to do, and other people then start to get involved, and it starts to snowball from there. It's very much growing a community can't be done overnight. It's something that happens, because if you join and there's no one around you, then you don't do anything. But once, all it takes is one person to kind of light the spark, and then people to respond, and things grow. So yeah, anyone in the Yarra, of course, a lot of people in the Yarra do travel to Melbourne as well. So there's a lot of events and activities around there. Anyone on the Stitch can kind of suggest something like to do, just as to throw it out there, see if people are interested.
What sort of activities you talk about, Andrew?
Well, they range from anything from cultural activities. One of the things that a lot of people do when they're first new is if they're planning on doing it anyway, but they just, you know, say there might be a movie they'd like to see, or they're into the opera or whatever, but they really wish that they'd have someone to go with, then they can just suggest it. And just like that, they've got a mini tribe of people who are interested in the same sorts of things. But then you've got these big organisers who'll go, like, I love having a monthly event, and we get the community together. So they have some big events. They do talks, lecture series. A lot of them just go, I mean, there's a group going to Morocco, actually. So travel's an interest for everybody. So it's not constrained by your imagination. It's just up to whatever you'd like to do. Obviously, most of the time when people are new, they look to see what other people are doing first. So they might go along to a welcome event maybe just even a catch up for a coffee. And dining out is a big one as well for a lot of our members down
there. We all like to dine out. Andrew, one of the things that I was just wanted to mention, and I want to get your opinion on it. The way I see some of these things, it's a spin-off. Like, if you don't know anybody and you get involved with your organisation and maybe you go to something once a month, but it's the times when you walk down the street and all of a sudden you see somebody that you've met through Wipeout Loneliness or whatever group, and you say, let's go and have a cup of coffee. Because I know one lady told me she was very lonely at one stage, and she said, I'd just go down the street and you'd feel worse because there was nobody you knew. But now she said, I go and do my shopping and it can take me 3 or 4 hours by the time I have a coffee and someone else wants to have lunch. So there is a spin-off, isn't there?
Yeah. And isn't that a wonderful story, that sense that you know you're welcome. And actually, one thing we had to work on a lot was people, we're lucky in Australia. Australians are generally quite friendly. Yep. But we found in some particularly big cities in the US, people have this mindset that they can't trust other people, and that other people, you know, you don't make eye contact or you don't start a conversation. It's just strange. And you have to change that mindset. You go, no, actually, that's how you need to have people believing that person over there, maybe I don't know them yet, but if I did know them, it would be a good thing to do. It'd be, if I'm going to have a conversation with someone, and that's where being part of the community helps. If you've got something to open the door to say, Yeah, remember that thing we went to? It wasn't great to see you. Yeah, I happened to meet at the beach. I was just wandering along the beach and heard someone calling out, Andrew. And I assumed it was someone parent calling after their kid, but it was someone who'd been to one of my events and calling for all of that. So it is nice to feel like you're part of a community that values you and treasures you, you know, no matter how old you are. We're really proud of it.
Andrew, just briefly, what made you were a big part of setting this up. What was the trigger that said to Andrew, I need to do something for this?
I guess a few things. I did a master's in social enterprise, so the idea of building an organisation that can actually have a positive impact. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then, as I said before, I stumbled onto how lonely people were as they got older. But then at the same time, my own grandmother had a heart condition, and she ended up in a retirement home, much like a aged care home, much earlier than she probably should have. Right. Ended up very, very isolated. And kind of seeing the impact that had on her, like not having, she was such a vivacious person. And while she had the health problem, she overcame that. But then she'd given up her house and everything. And she stayed in this environment that was just very not socially connected. And that really kind of led her down a pretty dark. So I had personal, real personal connection to it from my family. But then later on, the biggest one was we went through some health problems for my kid, my son.
Yep.
And it was a really, really dark time, but I found a lot of support from members of the community that really, really helped me out. And that was the point at which we realized this thing has such a big social mission. It's so important that's when we went around creating the charity and getting all our volunteers involved. And so it was really something that grew over time.
Oh, that's terrific. Andrew, could you give us some details on how people can find out more, please?
Yeah, so the two organisations, you mentioned Wipeout Loneliness, so that's all one word, wipeoutloneliness.org, where you can get information about loneliness. But actually, if you're more interested in just finding out, well, what are the fun things I might be able to do, I go to stitch.net in your browser.
Can you have that again, please?
Yes, stitch.net. stitch.net, or just Google Stitch Community or Stitch Companionship, and you'll be able to find it that way. You can sign up for free, see what's happening in your area, and you know, if you'd like to volunteer, on the Wipeout Loneliness page, there's a whole bunch of information around the sorts of opportunities for people who really like to contribute, not just be part of the community, but really contribute to making an impact on fixing this loneliness epidemic.
Well, and if we don't do anything about it, it's only going to get worse, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. Andrew, that's right. Again, if you could just give me those contact details, please.
Yes. Yep. So it's stitch.net.
S-T, like in the normal Stitch, S-T-I-T-C-H.
S-T-I-T-C-H. And people often ask us, why is it called Stitch? It's because we're stitching people back together.
Is that true? We just made that up.
No. We wanted a we didn't want a technology kind of name. We wanted something that was, just a simple website that you could easily find, but also, that fabric of society. It's been lost. A lot of the clubs don't exist in the same way they used to, and churches aren't a big thing anymore. But there's so the need is still there. That local community is still there. So we feel like we're doing what we can to stitch society back together again. So that's why we want people to remember Stitch, or wipeoutloneliness.org, all one word.
Andrew, look, I wish you well in the future. It's been terrific talking to you. I'd like to talk to you maybe early again next year, and we'll push it along, because I really believe, and I know the listeners probably get sick of me talking about it, but I've done a lot of interviews with people, with groups that are trying to help with this loneliness, and I've read a number of reports, and from what I can read, that in the future, that it's, if nothing's done, we're going to have people dying just of loneliness. Forget about anything else.
Yeah.
And it's pretty sad in a time when we can be connected. Like COVID, if one thing taught us, if nothing else, that even people my age and that are on Zoom and doing all that, which we never, if you'd have told me 10 years ago I'd have been doing, I'd have told you that's rubbish. But, I mean, that's just something COVID did. But just to be connected via the internet or isn't the answer, is it?
No, and that's what some people actually reject. Go on Zoom, like, oh, I did enough of that during the lockdown. I don't want to do that. But what they need to remember, it's a really, really helpful way of starting out.
Yeah.
Because it's, you don't have to worry about it. I've had people come to our welcome events and they say, oh, this is the third or fourth time I came. I saw that there was a group there and I didn't know them yet. And I got too scared and went home. There's this social anxiety that people have about meeting someone for the first time, because the brain is sending you signals the same as a soldier gets when they're being shot at in wartime. It's like, that's why it's a very, very daunting prospect for a lot of people. Starting on Zoom actually means it's easier to, you don't need to leave your home. You can come along to a welcome event, see what it's like, then progress from there to the in-person stuff. So people need to give it another chance. It's not the be-all and end-all, but it's a useful tool to get them started.
Yep. And you were saying, like, you've got members all over the world, have you, in various parts of the world?
We do. Our biggest communities are Australia, the US, and the UK. And what's great about having a global community is I keep getting all these stories of there's this one woman who is originally South Australian. She's moved to London. She's met someone in the US, and now they're traveling to Norway. Wow, how amazing is that? But it's that sense they go, look, because we've got a lot of you can only be a member of Stitch if you kind of buy into our value system, which is you need to be kind and welcoming and friendly to others and stuff like that. And if you do that, you know that if you meet someone, you're going to have the same kind of attitude, and they'll end up connecting that way. So yeah, being part of a global community is wonderful.
Andrew, unfortunately, I've got to go. The news is here right at this very second. So thank you for your time, and I wish you well, and we'll look forward to talking to you again maybe early next year.
Thanks for having me, Alan. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.